Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dominating right circle, Suzuki. Low now to Demidov. Side of the net, in front. One-timer from Suzuki, knocked down and kept to the outside. Demidov continues. 1:38 left, and a glove save made by Logan Thompson.
It's huge. I mean, no game in this league is ever easy, and, you know, it's even harder once you get to playoffs. So, honestly, I think neither one of those games could have gone either way, right? So the series could be could have been different. So, again, you tip your hat to them. That's a well-coached team and a lot of potential over there.
That's Logan Thompson giving the Canadians some love. Danny, you said this. I want to double down. That is a really talented young team.
Yep.
They picked first. They picked third in recent years. They've been brutal for the last few seasons since their deep run about four seasons ago. And they're going to be a handful, and they just need more experience. We saw this with the Caps when they were very young and made the playoffs.
Yeah, they're going to be good.
You get outclassed, you go up against someone bigger and more physical, who's more experienced, and you make some mistakes. But they were a pain in the butt. Like, that's a 4-1 series, and the margins in this league aren't that big anyway. But one of those wins is in overtime. You know, a couple of the lopsided games were empty net goals that were scored. It was basically, until Game 5, one-goal games in the wins throughout the series. So I give them all the credit. High marks. Watched the handshake line last night. I'm always curious to see after a long series, and this one wasn't that long, but Tom Wilson was a marked man, and they had so many little cheap shots and chippy things against him. What's that look like? And he had some really long, good embraces with some of their guys. But you could tell there was some respect and some reverence that they earned.
Oh, yeah.
The Caps' admiration as that thing went on.
You know what it reminded me of? And I don't know, it's not exactly analogous, but that young Bullets team with Howard and Weber and Strickland and all those guys, when they went up against the Bulls. I'm not saying the Caps are the Bulls, but you see my point. When the Bulls were better, that was obvious. It was clear from the jump, but it was one of those, damn, that wasn't a cakewalk. That wasn't as much fun as we would have liked to have had. We would have liked to have guys with our feet up. We'd like to have guys, dominated this series, and it didn't go that way. The Bulls won it because they were way better, but that was one of those, okay, hey, tip of the cap, and to your point, kind of that handshake line.
Grant and Danny's poll of the day today, presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. Local, long-distance, residential, commercial. 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. We're asking you on the 106.7 The Fan Twitter account right now who your number one star of the series was. 68% of you are saying Logan Thompson, the netminder. 14% saying Dylan Strome. By the way, he had 9 points. Nobody else on the team had more than 5 points in the series. Stromer, fourth right now in the NHL in points this postseason.
Attaboy.
Through just 5 games. Could not have been better. Ovi scored 4 goals. He's getting 12% of the vote. And then Connor McMichael, who had 3 goals in the series, getting 4% of the vote. So you can go vote right now on Twitter at 106.7 The Fan. It is our Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day. An opportunity for you guys to hop in on the phones at 800-636-1067. The Caps are moving on. Let's go to JR in Boston on Grant and Danny. What's up?
What's up? Listen, this series was great and encouraging. Like, I know I'm a hater. I've been down on the Caps at times, but they came out 4 of the 5 games and, like, dominated. Like, I was a little concerned because throughout this entire season, they don't have the killer instinct. How many games did they go by 2 goals and they, like, teams back into it? They went up 2-0, and then they had, they decided in Game 3 that we should come out and, like, give them their first 4 goals. It was insane how bad they played that. But, like, for having to come back and then to start off the way they did, but then finish as a team, like, Logan Thompson playing out of his mind, but the team came through and finished in Game 5. When was the last time, even through, like, when they won the Stanley Cup, did you see them actually dominate and work their way through a game instead of, like, I'm encouraged to go, and I'm dying to know knowing that they have the skill, they have the depth, they have the coaching, and clearly the goaltending. What is your expectations? What is a healthy expectation finish for this team? That's what I want to hear from you guys.
Yeah, so
thank you, bud.
Look, hockey postseason is so quirky that my answer is probably not going to give you the meat on the bone you want. I think it is utterly unpredictable. One of the reasons that I have been one of the calmest people in the D.C. media, largely, about many of the early exits and only having one conference finals appearance during this era and only the one cup is I think hockey is a silly game played on ice, and I think weird things happen. And in a way where I will hold teams accountable in other sports where you dictate more of the result, it's not necessarily that way in hockey. Now, if you play a bad game, I'll call you on it. If your energy's not there inexplicably in the postseason, if you make terrible mistakes or have awful giveaways like they did in a really bad defensive game 3 in Montreal, you're going to draw my ire. But largely speaking, when you play a pretty quality series, when you tilt the ice and you get more shots and more chances and you lose hockey games because you had a puck going off of a defensive player's skate or whatever, I'm just not that upset as I am in other sports. So I say all that to tell you, I got no clue what's going to happen. I think Washington playing its best game is a little bit better than Carolina playing its best game. That's what I think. The only time they've really had problems this regular season with the Canes was on the second night of back-to-backs on the road at their building. Otherwise, they had success. They were the better team in those matchups, and they won. I get why the Hurricanes are favored. Absolutely, I do. I had more confidence that Carolina was going to advance in five or fewer against Jersey than I did Washington with Montreal, and I think that's what the odds makers are looking at. There's a history here, clearly. The Caps are an older team, which oftentimes means you wear down a little bit sooner in the playoffs. But my question to answer your question would be, number one, how does Logan Thompson play in this series? If he plays at the same level he just did, they win the series. He just had a .925 save percentage and made some ridiculous stops. He's the better goalie in the series. If so facto, you win the thing. And do they play their best game? Because if they come out and they play four A versions of their game and a couple B games, I think in a seven-game series, they beat Carolina. But if you tell me they only find their A game twice and it's a couple of B games and then three C games, you probably lose in seven. But I have a hard time predicting the NHL playoffs. I probably will pick, if I need to, Carolina in seven maybe, but I think the best version of the Caps is better than the best version of the Canes. You just got to find your game, and I trust Spencer Carberry to get the guys there.
Yeah, I think he pushes all the right buttons, says the right things, does everything. It's just, to me, I don't know, maybe I'm a little bit shell-shocked from how well I saw Carolina play when we played them. I know they didn't finish with as many points, and you know, they struggled down the stretch for a couple times, as the Capitals were sort of on cruise control heading into the postseason. They're favored for a reason, I think, kind of to your point. So my hope is that you get out of this series, you win it, and then, you know, then as you said, it's up to the fates, up to the gods, whatever you want to call it, hockey, puck luck, mojo, whatever. It wasn't the best Caps team that won the Stanley Cup. Same way it wasn't the best Nats team on paper that won the Stanley Cup. So who knows about that? To me, this is kind of what I wanted. This reminds me of those times before they won the Stanley Cup where I'm going, I just need you to get further than you've been. Losing in the second round, while incredible that you have this run where you're always there, and I'd rather you be there than not, it's just, it's hard for me to get excited about anything when we're going to lose to Pittsburgh in round two or when you're going to lose to the Rangers or whatever. They've kind of done the thing that they haven't done in 6 years for me, right? Where they go, you're out of the first round. It's not the same as it was. They might lose to a better team right here. So I know it sounds like loser talk maybe to some. Obviously pulling like hell for them. It's going to be crushing to lose to a team that I hate if that does happen in Carolina. I think if I had to make a pick, probably say Canes win in seven games. But is it absolutely possible and even plausible, even fairly likely that Washington emerges victorious? Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that they can win every single game against Carolina. And if that's the case, then you can absolutely win the series. And I think this will be arguably the toughest opponent they play in the Eastern Conference. For whatever reason, as good as I think Florida is, I think Washington matches up better with them. They tend to score a lot of goals against Florida, against a pretty respected goaltender, oh, by the way. But this year, for the record, for people that are wondering, Carolina and Washington played four times. They always do. The Canes won two of the four games and got points in three of the four. The Capitals won the first game 4-2. That was way back in the first week of November. Mm-hmm. Almost irrelevant to me at this point. You're talking about the early weeks of the season. They played once just before Christmas, and in that game, the Canes won 3-1. And again, so early in the year, I'm just not sure how much I care about that necessarily. But in the two most recent games, which were at the very end of the season, April 2nd and April 10th, the Capitals got a 5-4 win in a shootout, which was a game in which they came back and got some late goals, and they got beat 5-1 pretty handily, like just dismantled.
Yeah, it was a throttling, yeah.
And that was one of their worst games of the year, remember, when they started fighting everybody in the third period. Mm-hmm. You were upset because they kind of were just getting blown out and said, all right, we're taking a
pound
of flesh.
Let's swing some, yeah.
But they didn't like a couple of the hits. But yeah, they got completely destroyed. I think that's what you're thinking about when you think about the matchup. I just think that was one night on a back-to-back that probably doesn't have a lot of relevance going into this series. Annie's in Alexandria, wants to hop in and talk about the Caps after their series clincher. What's up, Annie?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I would like to say that Dylan Strome, I know, Grant, you just mentioned, but I think he had 9 points throughout the series. He obviously had that great, clean face-off win. There was one play where he, like, dished it high up and basically forced the goalie to cover, and that led to offensive face-off zone in a crucial part. I just think he has high IQ and can see the play before, like, the develop. As
it's so true.
Like, you're 100%
right. My star.
He makes the right decision all the time in the offensive zone. Do you realize in their first three games, they're game winners, which came late, right? So it was obviously an overtime game winner for Ovi. Mm-hmm. Then you had the game winner in Montreal with 4 minutes left from Monge. He had the primary assist on all three of those goals. Whether it's dropping a pass and leaving it behind him in the O zone for Mangiapane to bang it home, whether it's finding Ovechkin with an awesome pass in overtime. 9 points, by the way, in five games. Only McDavid, Dreisaitl, and Kempe have more in the postseason right now. In addition to that, he had the best five-game stretch by a Capitals player in terms of points to start a postseason that we've seen in this era. Second best behind, I think it was, I got to think of who it was that I saw. Maybe Cote, I think, maybe. I have to look it up. But there was a Capital in like 89-90 that had a better stretch of five games to start a postseason. That's it, other than Stromer this year. So the way he's playing, if you wanted to make him your elite player of the series.
No issue with that.
I got 9 reasons why that makes sense. 9 points.
He was fantastic. I mean, to me, he's going to be tested again in this round. Full 200-foot game. You got to be accountable defensively. You've got to make the right play all the time. I mean, when he's right, and he's right now, there's a lot of Backstrom to his game to me, right? Where it's the always under control, always head up, always the right pass. He's just such a solid, always make the right decision type player, right? Never trying to do something where it's like, you know, if there's a moment where it requires something fancy, the saucer pass or some fancy footwork or stick handling, he'll do it. But it's not one of those, he's going to try it, and then all of a sudden it's a 3-on-1 rush the other way because he tried to be a little too frisky. Just making the right call all the time, you play solid, you end up with some pretty good results.
I owe an apology. It was a Hall of Famer who I was sleeping on. And it's a guy I can only say his name as if I was Craig Lachlan. Dino Ciccarelli, Joby.
Oh, it's Dino.
Dino had more points than Dylan Strome. So give me your Caps Elite Player of the Series from Elite Power and Energy Corporation.
Logan Thompson. I mean, to me, I thought he was spectacular. The one game where it wasn't spectacular, they ended up losing, but I think withstood so many of those desperate Montreal rushes, whether it was in the third period of game one, whether it was, frankly, the third period of game two, the onslaught to start this one. They don't win this series the way that they did without him in my mind.
So I'm going to be a hipster, as I am wont to do with the National Hockey League. I'm going to go Trevor Van Riemsdyk as my sleeper. I thought he was just sneaky awesome defensively. A couple of mistakes, but you're always going to be able to find those over five games from a blue liner. But I thought mostly he was great. And actually, Carbs singled him out in front of the team last night in the dressing room after the game. And then I would say, you know who was so good in this series was Matt Roy. Another defenseman that you never notice because he's just a stay-at-home guy. Kind of like a younger Brooks Orpik type almost. Not as physical, but just never going to help you offensively very much. And because of that, there's not going to be a lot of Roy number three sweaters floating around the arena. But damn if he's not important. And I just thought circuit to circuit in this series, when he was on the ice, I felt good. I was comfortable because he's out there and he's going to make the right decision. I thought they had a few defensemen like that. Alexiev stepping up for Ferravari.
How about the little stick handle for a scoring chance down low from Alexiev? I'm going, okay.
Who took Sandin in our draft yesterday?
Topes.
I joned on them. He had three shots on the cage in the first 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He was activating. He was in the rush.